Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
I can. It said. Can you hear me, Blair?
Now I can. There you go. What's going
okay.
on, sir?
All right. Yeah, it said only one host can log in. So, anyway, we're on, huh? Welcome, everyone.
We are on.
Yes, welcome, friends and family, to Straight Talk. We're going to have a really exciting evening here. But before we get started, as I always say, I never fly this journey alone. I'm here again with my co-pilot, Blair Nash. Say hello, Blair.
Good, sir. What's happening?
All right. So you all know that Blair took a vacation. He was in the Bahamas last week. So he missed out on the excitement of our topic. So how was the Bahamas? What was it like?
Bahamas was great. It was cool like the first couple of days, but towards the end of it, it started getting warmer and everything. So, the atmosphere was great. It was just all around good. I needed to kind of recharge anyway. And as we had the conversation before, you know, you don't really realize how stressed and how kind of out of sorts you are until probably about day three when you're on vacation. The first couple of days, you're still trying to kind of wind down and kind of, you know, get your legs up on you. But around day three is when you start to feel like, okay, I'm officially on vacation now. So vacation was great. You know, I'm glad to hear the show went well. I tried to call in. I was thinking about calling into the show, but I was like, you know, by the time I would have got logged on, and that was right around dinner time, that, you know, on the cruise and everything, I was like, you know, I'll just catch up with him next week. I'll let him have the whole show, and, you know, who knows, you could talk about me and talk reckless about me. I don't even know. So, you know, but, I mean, the people I spoke with said the show was good, so I knew you could hold it down. And thank you for just like you said, steering the ship while I was gone and everything. So I'm back in effect. So let's talk.
Yeah, good to have you back, man. You said it was cool, so I guess cool was 70 degrees, something like that, right?
Yeah, well,
or warmer, 75.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, cool meaning like low 70s, which, you know, obviously if we're here, you know, I mean, if you're anywhere in the Midwest or East Coast, you know, we're getting hit with, you know, I mean, below freezing temperatures. But 70 degrees,
right,
when you want to go swimming is not a warm temperature.
Oh.
So,
okay.
You know, I mean, it's cool to, like, be walk. You know, it's cool to walk around and chill. But if you want to really, you know, just, you know, jump in the pool and everything, you ain't doing that at 70 degrees, you know. At least black folks ain't. We ain't doing all that. But that's not our DNA.
Well, it was, when you said cool, I was thinking, hell, we hit like 7 degrees and the wind was blowing hard, so I don't even know what the wind chill was. But you were in the Bahamas, and we were, I'm sure, it was negative something with the wind. So what we called cool and what you called cool was not the same.
Right. I heard something about the schools were even closed here in the area, so I think, you know, I don't know if that – if we got hit that bad, because when I was leaving, I mean, everybody at my job was like, you know, hey, you were going to literally, right, you're barely going to miss this storm. And when I left early in the morning, I mean, there was no snow, no nothing. So I don't think that it actually came until either late that night or the very next day. So, like I said, I was very fortunate, and everything went really, really well. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So you missed something last week. We were talking about should men pay for dating, and it was really interesting. We had several men and a couple of women on the call all at once, and it was great to hear the men and women interact and talk about something like should men pay for dating. And one of the things that it came down to was, well, the ladies still like men paying for dates, especially the first one. That that seems to be like the pace setter, like what happens on that first date. And the other thing that came out is, hey, you should really know yourself so that you understand what you want. And it became a really intense conversation about what sort of investigation you do. We use words like interview and even interrogation to make sure you understand who you're taking out before you even invest, so that as a guy, you're not saying, well, I feel like I got used, but did you really get to know the person? So, as I said, that first date, go ahead.
And I was going to say, if I could just comment on the last week's show, of course, I didn't get a chance to call in or speak to any of the topics or anything, but I will say this. I think that there's kind of a shift that you're seeing in the whole dating, you know, phenomenon, whereas back, let's say, as early as even, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, it was the traditional model, guy, you know, meet you, hey, how you doing? I'd like to take you out. And then, you know, a day or two later, he comes, scoops you up, flowers, you know, had a great time, thank you so much, let's schedule another time. That we've kind of moved away from that, and I think social media has a lot to do with that as well. We've moved away from the whole idea of, you know, a guy taking a woman out and, you know, doing her chair and, you know, pulling her chair back and doing all that. I think men now are saying that, you know, I'm not about to go out there and, you know, spend $50, $60, $70, $80 on a first date with this woman, not even knowing if I'm really feeling her like that. So what's happened is men have done a couple of things. They've either just kind of gone to the whole idea of having kind of a coffee date or maybe a dessert date where, you know, we'll grab a piece of pie, a piece of cake, whatever, and sit around and kind of talk. Or what people are starting to do, and like you said, it's a coffee date, or what men have started to do is they've really just kind of had more of a screening process where they talk to the woman for an extensive amount of time, maybe for like 2, 3, 4 weeks before they even go out on a first date. And so what that does is it ensures that he is at, that there's actually an interest. And as a lot of men say, not her just trying to, you know, kind of get free meals and, you know, sit there and smile for an hour or two and, you know, then not even really interested in the guy. So I think that whole idea of dating has changed over the past several years. I'd probably say the past decade. So
and maybe, well, on the show, I actually talked about how if you go back far enough, that's exactly what men did. They spent a significant amount of time getting to know the woman, and they may not have even gone out on a date if you go back far enough. He may have just sat on a woman's porch while her father was in the house, so there was nothing happening as far as sex. So, but somehow they were able to progress that on to marriage. So, what a significant amount of time getting to know one another. So, what was cool. On the first date, I'm not saying men don't. Just by what I saw on Facebook, some women are offended. I mean, maybe they're not calling you a misogynist, but I think it's definitely directed at me. And I've been called offensive and disappointing and a misogynist. So, okay, I'll accept that. So, that, and Blair, I'm going to take you off the hook. This was my topic. I said, Blair, I think we should talk about this. And one of my concerns is that people don't actually talk about it. They don't even talk about sex. So maybe I'm missing something, Blair, and maybe you are because you would have warned me and said, hey, this is a terrible idea. So maybe we're both missing something. What I'd like to hear, so we can really talk this through, I'd like to hear from the callers why shouldn't you have sex on the first date? Like, what's wrong with sex on the first date? I get it. It's the first date. It's really a way to get to know someone. The man is expected to pay. I mean, hell, we've had on these calls, on the shows, that women have said, if the man doesn't pay for the first date, I'm never going out with him again. So clearly that first date is really important. And so that important and sex is a horrible idea, I'd like to hear why am I misogynistic, offensive, shallow, and at my age I should know better. Like, let's take the callers and let them correct me, and we'll have discourse.
Okay. All right, cool. Real quick, just for the folks who are listening, the calling number is area code 323-642-1387. Again, the number is 323-642-1387. We are going to go live to Columbus, Ohio, 614 area code. You are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Me?
That's
Hello?
You, my man. Yes.
Hey,
what's
are you
name?
There? My name is Colombo. And
thanks
great.
For calling.
How are you? Well, thanks for having us. It's my first time calling in, I'm just curious how y'all go and everything. I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. Okay, cool. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Actually, I don't really see anything wrong with sex on the first date. I think one of the problems we have is the double standard that us men apply on women, and that's why women sometimes feel like a taboo. We're allowing themselves to have sex on the first date. Like me personally, I don't judge a woman for having sex with me. First of all, I kind of use like some dirty tactics and everything, but usually it ain't even really their fault when they're over here. But that double standard, like I've always said, you know, a brother can sleep with 10 women in 1 week, and the other brothers and even some sisters look at him like he's the man. He's putting it down. So let a sister have sex with 10 men in 1 year, and we want to call her hoes and stuff. That I don't feel that double standard, man. I don't feel that at all. Me personally, I don't judge any person by different standards than I judge myself, and I think that's what we as men do a lot of times to win.
Okay.
Right.
So you think we're misjudging women is what you're saying, that you're not against
there's a stigma. There's a stigma that applies to women that we don't apply to ourselves. And for me, a date is anytime getting to know each other, like going out and paying for dates. That's not really what I do. Like some people say, you know, if I have sex on the first or take a woman out, I already know if we're sexually compatible. I'm not doing that whole trying to impress women with all that. I live within my means and everything I do. So, hey, they say that there's another double standard, too, a little bit, and I know it's a little bit off topic, but, you know, women say they want us to impress them, you know, in the getting-to-know-them process, but sometimes when they say impress, what they really mean is do shit that's, excuse my language, do things that are outside of what you normally do. If you don't go out on fancy, go out to eat at fancy places all the time, I'm not taking you out to eat no fancy place to impress you. I'm just not.
Right. Okay.
I have kind of a two-part question, if you don't mind, Ted, I want to ask you. And either one of you guys can answer. So do both of you see the change that has happened in dating mores over the past 10 years? And my second question is more of a philosophical question. You mentioned Colombo about the double standard that is there. Why is the double standard is there? Why do we look? Why do men say, "Oh, I can go out here and I can, you know, I can kind of try to sleep with as many women and, you know, try to hit on the first date"? But if a woman goes and says, "Yeah, I like to sleep with men right out the box. I don't like to wait, you know, try to push stuff down the road. I want to have it happen right away." Why are women judged differently? I hope I'm explaining the question clearly.
Yeah, I think for one, we live in a society that's kind of controlled and dominated by men. So the other thing, just like one time I responded to a post that said, why do us men look at it so differently when a woman cheats? Like, you know, a man cheats and he's kind of forgiven more often than not. A woman cheats, it's the end of the world. And I think it's because of penetration. Penetration is one of them. Besides males dominating the world, it's the penetration factor. You know, when we have sex, everything stays on the outside. Well, at least the way I do it. I mean, you're knocking nobody out, they get down. But nothing penetrates our body for the most of us men more have sex. But for women, it's different. The man knows that she's had somebody inside of him, that's inside her, and that's why everything is so different, I think. You know what I'm saying? Plus, we have that, we got the male ego, man. It's a dangerous thing, bro. It's a dangerous thing. It's okay for me to do it, but she's supposed to be an angel. Everybody wants to sow their royal oats, but then they want women who've only been with one or two or three men. That's not even reasonable, man. Women are sexual beings just like we are. The double standard is the male ego. That's where it comes from.
Well, I'm sorry, Ted, what are your thoughts on that? Because I have another question, but I want to kind of pick, you know, get to what you think.
Well, if we look at scientifically, they've recently discovered that a man's DNA stays in a woman's vaginal walls, and if his semen goes into her body, surely that DNA stain in the vaginal walls, but it also travels to a woman's brain also.
Mm-hmm.
So they have found that the more men a woman sleeps with, the higher the likelihood of her being in an unstable relationship.
Okay.
So they haven't found the same impact on a man sleeping with multiple women. And I'm assuming nature set it up that way, because if you had one woman and 100 men, perhaps the human race is going to be extinct. But if you had one man and 100 women, you could populate the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps nature made it that way. There are studies, if anyone wants to see it, just request, I'll put it up on my Facebook page. And Blair, eventually we're going to have to put up a Facebook page for this, so we can put up a lot of these stats that some people are saying are phantom stats or they don't exist. They can look at them themselves. But those are some of the things, finding a man's DNA. Yeah. So they found it because the woman was pregnant. She was giving birth, and they found DNA that didn't belong to the mother, the child, or the father. And what they found is that it was DNA from more than one man that was still inside the woman's vaginal wall. So there's an interaction happening between men and women that maybe perhaps we don't fully understand, and women attempting to be like men may not be in anyone's best interest.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then, to both of you guys. What are the negatives of, especially for women, but I want to speak to men as well, but what are the negatives for women in having sex on a first date, having sex right out the box?
Ooh.
I mean, I know you mentioned how it kind of rewires the brain, and how it, you know, how women who have sex, you know, right off the box, it kind of can hamper them as far as in a traditional marital setting. I get that. But let's say a woman doesn't even want to get married. There are women now who are kind of having more of a pushback and saying, you know, I don't even necessarily know if we're going to be married. You know, they look at a lot of their friends and a lot of the mess that they got to go through, and they just think, you know what, you know, I'm going to be like the fellas. I'm going to meet somebody. If it don't work out first 1 or 2 weeks, I'm off to the next. And they just kind of go
more
like that.
Too.
What's that?
I think that's – I apologize for interrupting, but I think another reason why marriage is going down is there's so many more women who are self-sufficient now. Back in the day, a woman kind of had to be married damn near.
Right.
But now they're doing it for themselves. And, yeah, it's not the same as it used to be. They don't need us like they used to. Some brothers resent that. I'm perfectly cool with it. But I would like to say one of the dangers of women, it's like a double-edged sword. You know, women – especially women who have never really experienced a true orgasm, they got to be careful out there. Because if they meet a brother and they vibe it right and he gives them one of them out-of-body experiences, it could be just some dude that she thought was cool, and now all the serotonin, all the endorphins and hormones kick in, and she can go from thinking we was, you know, I'm thinking we making passionate love, they thinking – we making love. I mean, having passionate sex, they think we making love. Sometimes that stuff is dangerous because women are set up different than us. So I'm not surprised at all about that study because, man, sometimes they can confuse lust for love when they all high off of, when they come drunk.
Well, it is. It is. You nailed it. It's a neurochemical called oxytocin,
yeah.
And that's a bonding chemical. It's they get it when they're pregnant, breastfeed, or having sex. And men don't secrete as much. That's why it takes us longer to bond. And once again, nature set it up that way. And testosterone will block the flow of oxytocin. So, but we're getting
that,
a little bit. It's called oxytocin. Oxytocin. Oxytocin.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
It can be.
So,
wow.
So my other question I want to ask you, asking fellas, is this. So do we think that there's just kind of, I mean, we understand there's a double standard. But do we feel that there is something there, like it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I don't mind, you know, when women do it, but I don't want to. I mean, is that kind of something that we just, is it kind of more of a smoke and mirrors kind of excuse that we use? Or do we really feel that way? What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of a different dude, man, but there's a lot of things that, I get back to our own pride and our own ego. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing if we do it, but it's different if they do it. Just like in the lifestyle community, you know, there's a lot of guys in the lifestyle community. Oh, they love to have two or three women at the same time. But then when it's the woman's turn and she wants to have you plus another brother, our ego is like, oh hell no, that's not going down like that. It's not. I mean, I'm not one of them dudes, but it's just we because we have dominated society for so long, we think it's okay for us just to make all the rules, whether they're fair or not.
Okay.
All right, fair enough.
There's a lot of selfish brothers out there.
Well, just for the record, most men don't make the rules. It's only 1% of the population. And it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's only.
But it trickles down, though.
Most men. No, it's only 1% of the population who are making those rules.
But then there's a lot of other percentages of the population that are men who are happy to apply those rules to women. We want our cake and eat it, too. We've always been like that.
Yeah, I get that. But not, especially when we talk about equality in the workplace, that those are not men. I mean, that's not 99% of the men. It's 1%.
No.
Making that.
Yeah. 1% of the population controls the other 99%. That should be a mathematical impossibility. It boggles my mind sometimes. But I don't get disputed at all. Somehow it's keeping allowing it. Wild.
Right.
Man. Talk about that 1%.
So real quick, let me give the number out again real quick. 323-642-1387. The calling number is 323-642-1387. So we talked about it being a kind of a double standard. We talked about kind of the negative of women having sex on the first date. Let's kind of broach on some of the positives. What are the positives if there are any? What do you see?
You think maybe there's a woman? It'd be interesting to hear a woman's perspective on
it. Yes, it would be. That would be great. Even though most women won't openly admit how they really feel.
Maybe they will. I mean, we have really open conversations on this show, so.
Okay.
It would be interesting to hear. And if you would have seen some on my page, some of the comments from women on Facebook, they were being quite vocal. So I'm hoping.
Okay. That's what's up.
I'm hoping some of those women are willing to call in And even the guys who thought, you know, I was immature, misogynistic, I'd like to hear their perspective also.
I'm not getting that. Misogynist, because you asked why is it bad to have sex on a first date, people will say that's misogynistic.
Well,
or is it just some other stuff that goes with it?
No, the first one I put out, I said, here's why you should have sex on a first date. I didn't ask the question. I made it as
okay.
a statement. Here's why you should have sex on a first date.
It's politically correct to say that sex isn't everything or sex isn't important. Okay, and I will agree that sex isn't everything, but when you have good sexual chemistry with someone, it sure makes everything else in the relationship a hell of a lot easier. People can say what they want. I've seen it. When they're skipping out the door like seeing Minnie Ripley in song, man, everything else is easier.
It's one of the top reasons people get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Money
Let's try and take another call real quick. If you can hold the line for just a moment. We have area code 514. 514, go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Hi, this is Dee speaking.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Dee.
Dee?
Dee?
Yes.
Dee. Oh,
okay. Dee, where are you calling
you?
From?
Yes, from Cora. Calling
yeah,
from
I
Seattle,
know. Thank you for calling.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Where are you calling from,
Dee?
Well,
I said I would call, so.
Where are you calling from, Dee?
Montreal.
Montreal. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This is great.
Yes.
Okay.
So we crossed the border.
Right across the border. Still Eastern time, though. So there's that benefit.
Perfect. So let me ask you, Dee, what's wrong with sex on the first date?
Well, from a female perspective?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It depends who's initiating it.
Mm.
Tell me more. We definitely want to hear this. Because it sounds like things are different in Canada, so let's hear this.
Yeah.
I don't think things are way too different, but it's a really tricky question because very vague and abstract. Like, what's wrong with it? Well, depending from whom, who's initiating it, what's the situation, were they friends, how did they meet, was it after they spoke for a while at the end of the date, or was it in the beginning initiated? There's so many factors that are placed within it, so you can't be like, oh yes, it's bad or it's good. It's so subjective.
You know,
so,
you're keep going.
So if you want to specify a bit more, give me a hypothetical situation and I'll work with it.
So, okay, if the man initiates sex on the first date, how does that play out from a woman's perspective?
Was he subtle or was he direct?
Let's do direct first.
Okay.
He's direct.
Okay. Well, I would say being direct about it is definitely a turnoff. At least, I can't speak for all females, but I can speak from, I guess, an alpha female point of view.
Uh-huh.
Because I would say just it being direct would just be a bit more... If it was initiated in the beginning of the date and it was direct, I would definitely lose respect because it's like you're just going for it. You didn't discuss it with me. You didn't talk. You don't really know me. And clearly, that means you don't have standards.
It's just what you do,
right? No, I think the whole reputation of men that are just like all they want to do is to get a girl in bed and that's his main goal, I think it's very degrading. I think it's a terrible stereotype for men, you know, and
Oh my God.
And
wow.
It's disgusting. It is disgusting. I think there's more to men than them just wanting to initiate and have sex and go look for many partners as possible. It's too animalistic.
Absolutely.
I think we have evolved beyond that. And so if it was initiated in the very beginning, very direct, A, you have no tact and no class.
Mm-hmm.
B, you have no standards.
Okay.
Beyond the physical,
and,
you didn't get to know me
right.
mentally, and to me that's an important factor. And you know, and if it doesn't matter to you, I'm judging you based on that. So
perfect.
That's when he would initiate it in the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, we're still talking first date. This is still first date, and someone has some noise in the background. There's some noise like paper shuffling or something.
That was my bad. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Okay.
I'm done.
D, keep going. So what if it's subtle? What if it's a subtle initiation?
If it's a subtle initiation and clearly there's chemistry from both sides and he's able to, he initiates it based on the fact that he could perceive her to be receptive to it or most likely receptive to it.
Okay.
How well is he at handling rejection, or at least if she shuts it down, if he initiates it and makes an indirect suggestion and she shuts it down, I know a lot of females that would study that and just want to see his reaction. Would he remain calm and composed and remain a gentleman till the very end, or is his face going to turn, and was that his main objective? Because as a female, you're sort of on guard. Like, as you said, it's like first dates are interviews, and you're on guard because
right.
you're thinking, okay, what does he want from me?
Okay.
What does he want from me? And so that's one of the things that he initiates it at the end, and things are going well, and there's chemistry. In all honesty, if a girl really, really likes a guy, she will try to push it. Like, she will try to push
yes.
it and delay it.
Yeah.
On the first date.
Yes.
On the first date.
Yes.
She knows, and even if she's interested,
yes.
but if she really likes him and she respects him, she will try to push it and not pursue it until she sees him again. Because she wants to maintain a form of value. And if she doesn't really respect him, but there is chemistry, she'll go for it. Because why not? Don't respect you. Don't
right.
have that much worth. See how things go.
So, let me ask you then. We're still staying with the first date. You respect the guy. You get the sense he respects you, and you allow sex to happen. Right? It's sort of a mutual, subtly, and it's like almost like it's a flame that's subtly growing and growing, and both of you know where this is going. Would you be at all concerned that the guy is not going to contact you or he may lose respect for you if you have sex on the first date?
Well, I think that's more of a reflection of him and the way that he thinks and just his misogynistic, sexist form of thinking. And then that's just a good riddance. Like, it's a negative, that if you look at it in a different aspect, it's a positive. Do you really think that way after we have spent like 2-3 hours together? Are you that bad at evaluating someone's character?
Interesting. So he's forging
my words.
Character. Right. So you're saying that the guy may just be a poor judge of character because if he sees you that way.
Yeah. If he feels as though, oh, I lost respect because I was able to get her into bed on the first date. And no, it's not just you. It's a two-sided equation, and there's an adult as well. There are two adults speaking, and she has a mind
exactly.
and she can make it up. And, you know, and it's a two-sided equation. But there is a risk. And as I said, it's definitely an alpha female perspective in which...
Okay.
You're speaking about a woman that is self-assured and self-confident and, you know, just comfortable, like knows her self-worth, and it's very intrinsic. So when another man or behaves in a certain way, it's not out of a reflection out of something that she did, it's out of what he did and the way he's thinking. So if let's
so
say
you would...
you're someone else,
so you would in some way, I mean I assume that's not a situation you would want to be in, and you would hope that you made a better assessment of his character. However, if he did judge you, it sounds like you wouldn't even want to be in a relationship with someone who judges you that way. Anyway, like it would almost be like it would be like your benefit that he walks away. It would be to your benefit. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good looking out.
And it's a one day. It was one day. It's a shame, and it's definitely a sting if that happens, because if you evaluated someone's character and you sat down with them and you it was an interview and they passed that interview and then they have that reaction, it makes you reevaluate your assessment and tweak it.
Maybe
you know,
interview.
Exactly. It's like next time you go on a different date, you're going to be a lot more rigorous and a lot more, you know, and probably harsher and a bit more critical about it, because, but I don't see
so the next brother got to pay for how the first brother messed up, basically. And that's something we got to deal with, but it's real. It's real.
Yes, it is.
Because now you're on your guard.
Right.
For sure, for sure. The way how one male behaves will influence the way another male is going to be received by another female. It's a train reaction. I feel as though it's the same thing with, like, males and females. Like, females, and if she behaved in a certain way and, like, like, you don't know my worth, no. And really, do you have to, like, does a king really scream that he's a king? No, everyone knows that he's a king. Someone of worth isn't going to sit down and be like, I am of worth. You're just going to know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't have to.
You are
that.
You don't have to talk about it.
Right.
When you are that, you don't have to talk about it. Other people will do it for you. That's the way I live my life. Try to. Thank you for your input.
Lastly, it's about trial and error. And yes, the downside is there is a form of devaluing. And there is, as the previous guy was talking about, the oxytocin and, like, a female, once she has an orgasm, and it just throws her off completely, and which is true.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. Females are thrown off, and they can't evaluate things objectively after.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same way, no. So it's tricky.
So I want you to, like, stay right there. Blair, you have any thoughts or questions?
Really, not necessarily. I mean, she made a very good point that I think we can kind of elaborate on, which is that, you know, part of the reason why I think there's always been a belief that women should kind of, you know, stay away from having sex right out the gate is because there's this belief that women don't really know emotionally how to deal with it. And I think what happens, you hear on social media and you hear a lot of women say, well, I can deal with it. I'm actually a different breed. I'm cut from a different cloth, so I can deal with it.
Right.
But all the research and all the scientific data shows that the majority of women can't deal with sex that early. So it's almost like it's kind of a way of keeping them protected by not having sex with them so early. So that's just my theory. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me say this. Maybe women are evolving. I mean, so, you know, years ago you'd hear, even if a woman says, hey, I just want a sexual relationship with you, and after a few months of having a sexual relationship, and she finds out the guy is... He's a pretty good guy, and she starts to get attached, and the guy says, well, no, that wasn't our agreement. The woman is hurt.
That's right.
Whoa, wait a second. What I've heard more than once in my gym in the locker room, a guy saying he had sex with a woman. She climaxed. No, listen. She climaxed. He didn't. She got up, put on her clothes, and said, "I'm leaving." And he's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I'm done. I got what I needed." And he left. She left his house. Just left him there. So that's a different mentality. these are people. These are people in their 20s.
Oh, it's 20, so that explains.
I'm hearing more and more stories like that, though.
Well,
wow.
One thing I would like to say is, Sister D made some great points, and that whole whether it's direct or indirect thing goes to kind of what I've been, I try to share with brothers, because the best way to have sex with a woman is to provide her some stimulation on several different forms and then allow her to think it was her idea. And that's what I said, I got dirty tactics, so I don't even blame them a lot of times, because at times I'm capable of literally receiving and projecting thoughts. But the indirect at the end is the best way. If she don't make a move, hey, let it go. And before she goes out the door, give her a hug. There's a lot of women who've never been hugged properly. And when a woman's hugged properly, there's something that makes their knees kind of wobble. And sometimes their neck pop back. And that seems like an invitation for my lips. And then, like I said, from there I'll just do some things and let her think it was her idea. But it really ain't her fault. I've been projecting thoughts. I'm slightly telepathic. I'm not going to share that. Does that make me a bad guy, by the way? Not sharing with women that I'm slightly telekinetic before I ever put my hands on them. Does that make me a jacked up dude? Should I give them warning? But then part of superstitions. Like if I say it, then maybe it won't work the way it's always worked because I don't talk about those things. Does that make me a bad guy? Miss D, can you answer me that?
That just makes you honest. That just makes you an honest person, not a bad person. And I think, obviously, you're like, you made it was her idea, but it was mine. But it was her idea as well. It was in the back of her mind as well.
Yeah.
So you just opened that door. And do you know that feeling when you're just about to go inside the elevator and the elevator door shuts, but it opens right again? And you're like, oh, finally. Don't have to wait for the next one. That's exactly what.
When that happens, that's a clear sign to get off the elevator. I wouldn't let that happen anymore.
You wouldn't let that would happen.
let me get the number real quick again. 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. We are going to go to area code 919-919. You are live and on the air.
North Carolina.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello. I'm awesome. How are you?
Great. I am great. I was just listening to you guys, and this has been some good information.
Can you say your name and where you're calling from?
Can you say your name and where you're from, please?
Yes, this is Dion. I'm from Raleigh.
Hey, Dion. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Doing excellent.
For calling.
What are your thoughts on the show? What are your thoughts?
Well, I listened to what the female said. I can't remember her name. I'm sorry. That was on before me. I think her name was D. She made a lot of great.
D's are holding it down. D and Dion. D ladies are holding it down.
We're trying. I know y'all wanted some ladies to call in, so I thought I would call in and, give it a little bit a female perspective. But I think your question was about sex on the first date, correct?
Right. What's wrong with sex on the first date? Yes.
What's wrong with it?
Correct.
Well, for me, this is how I've kind of shared it when I shared that information. We had those kind of conversations. And with my girlfriends in the salon or whatever, is that how I normally see it is that it's almost like you're putting on blinders after that. like sex for a lot of women because they can be emotional. It's almost like as soon as you have sex, they are blind.
You're attached.
Okay.
You're
yeah,
saying
don't
you're
get
saying
me wrong.
That you feel that that's go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm saying what? Go ahead.
I just want to make sure. So you're saying, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you correctly. So you're saying that you feel like women are blamed for having sex on the first date? Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-mm. That we are blamed?
They put on blinders.
No.
She said blinders.
I believe
right,
that once you have
that.
Sex.
Right.
Once you
they're
have
right.
Sex,
they don't see us clearly. Go,
you know, and all of the things that you probably would have been aware of or you were actually – you know, taking your time or you are watching, you are listening. I think a lot of times
mm-hmm.
that cuts that off. So for women, I would say for women, because women are, I kind of explain it like this, like for men, it's not emotional for you guys. It's almost like you asking a woman or you want to be intimate with a woman is the same thing with me asking you, can I have your heart? Do you see what I'm saying? For women it is. I don't see it as the same thing. But just like if I said, well, you want to have sex with me, but can I have your heart? This how you feel when you step back and say, whoa, wait a minute. We are serious, but that's the same thing as you just saying that you want to be intimate with me because there's an exchange that happens when you're intimate with me. There's a spiritual exchange that happens between us when we're intimate.
Okay.
But don't you think that asking for a man's heart and trying to have sex, don't you see that those are two different things? I mean, guys, a guy
for
can
her,
get, you know,
for women sometimes.
Not for women.
Well, no,
is what
I'm
saying.
I understand that for women. Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I guess my point is that for women, it's kind of hard because you can't play both sides of the coin. You can't say, well, our emotions and we're tied into it in our heart, et cetera, and then try to, on the flip side, then try to act like men and say, well, I can have sex on the first date and it ain't no thing. And that's a lot of what you see now. You see a lot of women trying to pattern their sexual behaviors after men, and they say, well, I can have sex, and it's no issue. And it's like, no, you're a woman.
Sure.
It damn sure is an issue.
Okay, but I could also say that I see a lot of men that are emotional these days.
Right.
I could say that now.
But,
you know,
man,
I find
it's
that
a lot
of men are
it's
more emotional
lot.
These days than women.
Wow.
And women
wow,
are more the emotional beings. But I'm finding out that more guys
wow.
are more emotional than women these days.
Well,
there are a lot of soft
her,
dudes out here
finish.
Right now. There's a lot of
whoa,
soft
wait,
dudes.
Let her finish. It's hard to hear everything she's saying. But let it just go ahead. And,
okay.
Because it blocks her out when two people talk.
Okay.
Understood.
Dion, what is Dion, right? Is that the correct way?
It's Dion.
It
correct. Mm-hmm.
Dion. Okay. Go ahead. Finish saying what you were saying.
Well, I was answering. I think that was Blair that was speaking.
Yes.
Was answering his question is that, you know, how I feel like there are more men that are emotional these days. Like, I feel like that is changing, where it was known that women were the more emotional being. But I now see more men that are being, you know, more emotional than women and acting by their emotions opposed to thinking.
Let me ask you this. When you say more emotional, are you saying like after sex, are you saying they're emotional, they're just emotional period or whatever? What do you kind of define what you mean by emotional?
I think emotional period, to be honest with you. I don't even think it's mm-hmm. after sex. Like sometimes you'll see their perspective, I feel like they're acting out of emotion opposed to where you see that most women tended to be more emotional and make choices and actions and reactions out of emotion. I see that shifting.
So Dion, mm-hmm. let me ask you. You've always heard that men can be stoic and they're not. Women complain that my man is not emotional enough. Do you appreciate when a man is being more emotional? I mean, how do you feel about this new phenomenon?
Well, to be honest with you, I appreciate when you are balanced. Just like I'm pretty sure that men appreciate when women are balanced.
Right. But you're not seeing balance. So I'm asking that as a woman,
Ted, let me interrupt
you
real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with the sound or whatever, but whoever's on there, if they're making a sound, could you please kind of mute that, please?
Put it on
Thank
mute.
You very much.
Yeah, just put your phone on mute. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of feedback going on. So go right ahead. I'm sorry.
So, Dion, so I heard what you said about being balanced. I want to know, you as a woman, and Dion, I'm asking you also, if men are becoming more emotional, is what you're seeing across this in general, does that make you feel more connected with the man, or do you not have an appreciation for that? Or if you had a preference. I know balance. I understand balance. What would you rather the man be like traditionally less emotional about across the board, or do you like this new thing of men being more emotional?
Well, here's the thing. I would rather not have extremes of either one. That's why I said balance. I don't want a man that – I want you to be able to share what you're feeling and talk about those things, because I believe that also there's a negative that goes with when you can't share how you're feeling or how this made you feel or share that or be emotional.
Right.
To be honest with you, is that I find strength in that to be – for me. I don't know about any other woman, but I find strength in that, not all over the place. But I find strength when you can be vulnerable like that with me and know that you can trust that I'm not going to attack that space, that I'm not going to make, you know what I mean? I'm not going to use that against you later in an argument, but I want you to feel safe to be able to do that. But I also want to feel safe as well.
What do you mean feel safe? I'm not
as
sure
what
you're saying.
As far as me being able to open up like that, I want to feel that same kind of safety, but I want to give it to you as well.
Okay, cool. Dion, if you can hold the line for just a moment, we have quite a few callers on hold. So if you could just stay on the line, we'll promise we'll come back to you, okay? Dion, are you there?
Yes, I put my phone on mute. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Just hold the line for a minute. So the caller number is 323-642-1387. We are now going to go to area code 318. 318, you are live and on the air.
Hello,
318. You're live. Is anyone there? Okay, maybe they're just trying to listen in. Okay, we're going to go to area code 205. 205, you are live and on the air.
I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Okay, so bear with me just a quick second. We're going to allow her to just simply listen. Next person is calling in, does not have an area code, but you are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Excuse me. Hi, are you speaking to me?
Yes, we are.
How are you?
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Mr. Solution, West Coast. You say here, I was just reading your intro. You say here's why you should have sex on the first date.
Right.
I would just ask this question, and I think I see what you're getting at. Maybe you're talking about getting a pass to games that are played, and women play a lot of games. But anyway, I think that's too soon, because if you think of sexual diseases and other mental dysfunctions that could exist in one or both persons, I think that may be a little bit too soon. What I would suggest, I think, where the two people are able to talk openly and men are not put in financial prison to have to feel financially responsible for a woman that they have no other connection with. I think if we could get past that, because I think men will feel deprived, at least those who are conscious and cognizant, if they end up spending a lot of money on every, one-and-done date that they have with particular women. So I think this is a bit confusing, and the women's movement, equality, and all of that certainly has thrown fuel on the fire. But I would just say if men can get under, now I'm a man who can obviously afford to pay for many, many dates, but I don't want to. I don't want to pay for a woman who I don't know, and who may not have any continuing contact with me. I may not like her. She may not like me. So I just think that, you know, certainly that issue needs to be dealt with. What do you think about that? There are other issues. I think that's a major issue.
Well,
man,
I was just going to say that's actually where I wanted to take this. So the first thing, so what you saw on Facebook, there's like well over 100 comments, and what the comments showed is that people don't actually talk about sex. They probably don't really talk about anything. People said I was misogynistic for putting that out, that I was talking about one-night stands. And there's nothing in there that I said about a one-night stand. Like, nothing.
Right.
And I'm not putting women down, and I'm not making women into sexual objects. I'm saying a few things. So there are people who had sex on the first date, and they're married, and I know a number of them who are still married, have children. A couple are divorced after several decades. But there are people who have had sex on the first date and married. I mean, I'm thinking of one guy. His wife told me the story that they went on the first date. After the date, he went to her house, and he just never left, and they've always been together since then. They have a child. They still love one another. So I've heard some incredible stories, and some of them are really outliers. But what I'm getting at is, It can work, but what the guy from the West Coast, you're laying out a major point. So most people don't talk about things, and they don't spend adequate time getting to know the person before they even go on a date. So there are lots of men who feel like you that, yes, I have the money, I just don't want to keep spending money on multiple dates and finding out I really don't like the woman. She's beautiful. She's attractive. But maybe there's something about the way she handles herself that I'm not even sexually turned on. And I'll give you a personal woman who everyone knows. I'll tell you that Halle Berry, I love her body. I don't find her sexually attractive. She's someone that I would not want to pursue sexually at all, even though I find her body fantastic. But I don't get, she's not sexy. She looks much too uptight. Before they even talked about her being raped or molested, she wears it on her face and her body. So I think if guys, and last week we had a show about should guys pay for dates? And it really wasn't about should guys pay for dates. It was really about fellas, before you start just taking women out on all these exciting dates and spending money, whether you have it or not, interview this woman. I mean, a date is an interview. However, you could use the telephone or whatever social media, but I would suggest have quite a few conversations. I mean, you could literally meet someone on February 1st, and perhaps you don't go on a first date until February 22nd. And you may have spoken to this woman almost every day between February 1st and February 22nd. And when you go on your first date, you'll feel like you've known one another all your life. And as Dee was saying, then subtly you're both interested sexually. Like you've discussed so many things. You have a great assessment of that person's character. But you know, I think there's a bigger problem, and Blair, you're probably going to go down this path.
Right. I have a question when you finish, sir.
Okay.
Solution. Okay. Solution. Hold on for just a minute. First of all, let me do the number real quick again. It's 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. I see several callers on the line holding. Please be patient. We're going to get to you, I promise. Solution, go ahead, take a couple seconds and ask your question, please.
Yes, sure, certainly. I think the gentleman that just spoke before you, I didn't catch his name, but I think he makes some great points. He makes some excellent points. And I think he may have answered a question I was going to ask relative to the guy who moved in with the woman. And he did mention that as an outlier, but had they had prior conversations, so apparently they had. However, yeah. I would issue a strong warning, especially in our era. If a man moves in with a woman, you are contingent. You are dependent. And a man or any person should never want to put themselves in a precarious position such as that, because she can kick you out at any moment. She can bounce you through the uprights, as they say. So a man should have his own place, and I believe a woman should have her own place too. And if you guys decide to merge at some point, but I think a person should never give up the stability of a place they can call their own. So I would just cite that. But you guys have a great show. You're dealing with some fantastic modern-day issues. And,
thank you.
You know, just keep it up. I'll hang on or make a comment or whatever. But good show.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you from the West Coast. So hold the line for just a minute. We are going to go to area code 347. 347, you are live and on the air. 347. Are you there?
You have us on mute. You can take it off.
I think that's Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe Chicago's 847. I don't know. 347, are you there?
347 is New York. That's a New York number.
It's okay. All right, cool. All right, we're going to put you on hold. We are going to go to... We're going to go to now to my city. There you go, 614. 614, you are live and on the air.
That's me. I just accidentally hung up. It's Colombo. I'm
okay.
Just back with the show.
All right.
And, yes,
okay,
good
cool.
job, brother.
Not a problem.
Don't put yourself in a precarious position. Have your own. You ain't got to have a lot, but you got to have your own. You got to be self-sufficient, and you got to be able to find other things other than sex to talk about to,
right.
you know, inspire and stimulate the people you deal with
right.
and interact with.
Exactly. And I will make a small caveat to that. It's kind of off the subject a little bit, but it is a very good topic. I think in addition to – I think there is a negative definitely to moving into a man or woman's home. I agree with that 100%. I think what you also
mm-hmm.
need to understand is you need to have fallback plan. And so
mm-hmm.
I think what happens a lot of times is either women or men, what they do is something happens, there's a blowout, and all of a sudden it's like, get the f*** out, right? And then now it's
right.
like,
right.
I don't have
my this is my spot,
you know. Right, right, exactly. Because as I tell people, when it's time to flex, people flex. And all the
yeah.
promises and I would never, that goes down the drain when people get mad. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
the bottom line is that if you do decide to move in with that man or that woman, you need to have a plan that you can put into effect pretty much within a couple of hours that says, you know what, me and such fell out, but, you know, I got some game plan. You know, tonight, for the next couple of nights, I'm going to stay with a partner of mine, and then, you know,
right.
by the
nah,
week,
I'm cool.
Well,
yeah, I let him humble, but I got to maintain my own.
I just
do.
So the guy I'm speaking about, it's not like he just moved in. He just never left.
No.
His place.
Right,
they
right.
Have the, he had his own place. But the date went so well that it's almost like they were married after that. They just stayed together.
It was like a cosmic connection. I feel that.
Yeah.
Shit. Things, excuse my language, are real. And sometimes you just find somebody who hugs you in a way that makes everything else go away and make you appreciate the fact that the universe loves you. You can't be mad at that.
So,
I love love.
And so here's the deal. If you're a woman and you have this hard and fast rule, you have to wait 90 days, a lot of women can be killing that off. So that's part of what I wanted to get at here. So instead of having this, I wait 30 days, 90 days, actually investigate, to invest some time getting to know the guy before you judge when that's going to happen. And one of the things I don't understand is two consenting adults are coming together with the understanding that we're going to create an intimate relationship, and they both want that. I don't get why men and women can't talk about sex before it happens. It's like the man just has to shut up, and I'm not saying whether he's direct or subtle, but to even be able to say, I find you sexually attractive, I'm not going to pursue you today. I still like to get to know you, but or something like that. But we men are sort of at left to a woman deciding when we're going to have sex, and so what the guy does is he pursues it every time he's around her because he doesn't know if today is the day, and so how will you know? What if people could actually be a lot more mature about how they approach sex? We have so many presuppositions built in to how men and women interact that the first date or second date, it's hard for it to happen. And if one of them or both have these hard rules about this is the only way I do it, and it's like, how do you even know that's the best way? I mean, sometimes you really hurt a relationship by trying to force it. So instead of being focused on trying to force when sex will or will not happen, investigate and getting to know the person to make sure you really like them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask another question. And if you don't mind, I don't know if you're still there, Dion. I took you off mute. If you're there, let me know. But I what's that?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I appreciate it. So here's another train of thought. This kind of, Ted, you kind of spoke on this just a little bit. Where did we get this idea? Because when we think of sex, when we think of a date, we always think of men trying to hit. Like, I'm trying to hit first, right out the gate, dude. I ain't trying to wait on nothing, right? Where did we get this notion and this idea that somehow women and their sex and their sexual organs have more weight than a man's? Why is it that we are the ones that are always seen as always happy? It's like, aren't I gold as well? Where did you get this idea that you were gold and somehow you're up on some sort of perch and I have to kind of come after you?
Where did we get the idea that we should be pursued for it? I'm trying to hear.
Why is it that if I meet a young lady and I go out with this young lady and all of a sudden I'm trying to hit date one? Like I said, I'm not playing. I'm not trying to put on no charm or nothing. I'm trying to get with it. Right?
Wow.
Why is it that we are the ones who are, and I hope I'm saying this right, why are we the ones that is like, we kind of look at women as though their set, the sex from them carries so much weight? When, going back to all the different things that you said before, I mean, like I said, you can men can populate the earth. Women can't really populate the earth as quickly as men. It's not to say that they're not valuable, but when you look at all the different things that are there, you have to say to yourself, why do we chase sex so much? Why is it that women are the ones who kind of sit back and want to be entitled and be sought after, and it's not men? That's my question.
Wait, Dion, before you answer it, so the one way that we've been indoctrinated is why buy the towel when you can get it for free, which implies that the woman is more valuable sexually than a man. Like, we have no value. Like, we're worthless.
Right. Right.
I can tell you this for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I think a lot of families are, they come out of the black church, right? And when you come out of the black church, this is just me, my perspective. We want to see the woman as the weaker vessel, right? So we talk about, like, you know what I mean? We hear those things that, you know, about the woman, like she's precious more than rubies. We know all of these things. We're hearing all these things, right? The Bible tells us to honor our men, but it tells the men to love the women, right, to dwell with her according to knowledge. So I feel like why shouldn't we have that kind of – I think men should have that same value as well. I don't feel like we should be valued higher, but I also believe that – men say they want a virtuous woman. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say you want a virtuous woman. You want to have this, you want to have that. And then you say that, well, why is your value higher than mine? I don't think it has to do with value, but it has to do with is she the weaker vessel? Is her price more, you know, valuable than rubies? It's like we're all over the place. Like, what is it going to be now? You know, how are you going to deem it to be so? I mean, it comes from those old family traditions where you had to come and you had to meet the daddy, the mama. You couldn't come and get her. You know what I mean? Yeah, he could come. His mama and his daddy didn't come with him. He came to the house to meet her mama and her daddy. Do you see what I'm saying? Because then it said, okay.
But this ain't the 60s no more. Guys don't have to.
No. Wait a minute. Now, let me say this. In the 1990s, my father in the 90s, you could not take me on a date if you didn't come to my home and pick me up. And he gave you an expectation of what he expected you to do, what time he expected me to come back home. And if you couldn't honor that, you couldn't take me nowhere. And that was in the 90s.
And he might have had a shotgun behind his thigh when he did it.
Oh, he had a
like, I really ain't playing.
He was talking to you.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, but my father also told me, he actually, to be honest with you, my father let me know, you are valuable, you are this. You know, when he talked about a man's word is his bond. You know what I mean? All a man has is his word. So what he did, if he said something he was going to do for me, he made sure he did it. So for me, I have that same expectation of every man now, is that when you say you're going to do something, do it. It's like an unspoken thing. Like, no, I'm not trying to nitpick everything, but I was raised like that. That when you speak a word, I can't unhear it. You can't unsay it. So that thing is set. So I'm looking for you to honor your word. But my father said that for me. I don't know about anybody else.
Are women expected to honor their word?
Yes. People, grown folks.
Definitely.
No, I'm asking her. Are women expected to honor their word?
Of course. It should be. Anybody, it should be honoring their word. But I also believe that if you're going to be the head, if you're going to lead, I mean, we going into another, you going into a whole other dynamic when you talk about that. If you want to be the head and you want to lead, why can't you set standards? Why can't you be that one that says, okay, yeah, she is valuable because you know what? I'm going to lead. I'm going to set the pace. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to be honest first. I'm going to do this first. Why don't nobody want to be responsible for that to do it first? I can tell you this. Why are we always the one to have to bend? Why are we always the one to have to do this? Why are we always the one
talking,
to have to do
this? Whoa, wait, time out. We're talking about dating,
first date, though,
not
right?
living together.
First
we're talking
date,
about
right.
dating and not
we
living.
Go back on the first
so,
date,
so,
right?
No. So, but
right.
even
so
on
when,
the first date, why
no,
did he
wait,
have to
no, 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 wait. Before,
people
before even the
that's
first
you
date,
before
you even have a first date, you meet a woman, and so here's a few things. The woman could say, I have a boyfriend, and she doesn't. So she just started things off with a lie. A woman could say, I'm celibate. I don't have sex. I'm waiting until I'm getting married, and then she has sex with you on a first or second date. Like these are ways of being dishonesty. This is a matter of integrity, and a lot, I know you could say, well, it's just a little game, and it's she's making a chase, but you say a lot about yourself when you're dishonest right out the gate.
So you think that's being dishonest if I said, this is who I am normally, but I decide that I want to have sex with you on the second date. Do you think that was me being not dishonest?
Maybe. What if you are? What if you are dishonest?
Not around here. Not around here.
I can't hear you. I get two people talking.
Yeah, you got let one person talk at a time. If that's the case, But what if it's not the case?
If it's not the case, then they are being dishonest. But what if it is the case? What if she has been celibate for 7 years,
right, that's,
for 8 years, whatever,
now that's,
and she meets someone,
right,
and okay?
I'm all for that, and it's what the first woman, D, was saying, that it's your ability to assess the woman's character or the woman to assess the man, what kind of person you're dealing with. But this is what I'm getting at, and I ask the question because it's very common for women to be dishonest with you up front and never see it as being dishonest. Right? It's just like a game that's played, and that's not very attractive. And so how do I see you as being a virtuous woman when you come out the gate the first day I meet you? You say things that are inaccurate or untrue about yourself.
But then I would
say
to the person, did he take the time to get to know her?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't hear anyone now. I can't hear anyone. Say that again, Dion.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. There's too many people talking.
Right. So I would say that for that person, like you said, for her being dishonest, you that's what you said, right?
Right.
Right. But I would say, did he take the time to get to know her? Because everybody is not being dishonest. You said it's very common. I don't believe that that's a correct statement, because I would say it's very common for men to lie all the time.
I understand.
I can say that.
And
but I don't make generalizations like that, because I believe that there are a lot of people that are not telling the truth, men and women.
So
I
mean, you an example. More, just let me say this one thing there. One thing that's a perfect example, and it's become a part of culture. This has nothing to do with race. It's women across the board. A lot of women will say they have a boyfriend when they don't, and they may actually even be interested in the man. It's hard for me to comprehend that kind of mindset, that you're interested, you're staring me down, you're smiling, you're giving me all this, and the man's approach is not crude or anything. And she says she has a boyfriend. But if the man pursues it and shows a little game, then all of a sudden she doesn't and everything's okay. But she just started it off with a lie. And this happens a lot.
Well, I can't speak to that because I'm not that woman. Like, for me, I would rather be honest with you and just say I'm not interested in a relationship with you. So,
true.
I mean,
I gave an example where the woman is, like, staring the guy down, like, you know,
right,
running a shopping cart into other people because she's staring at the guy. So, how does that work? That's a game. That becomes a game. And a guy knows it. A guy will say, all right, my man was saying,
I
know how to play the game. I play the game.
Right.
Ted, I want to give you kind of an illustration. This is a true test. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, just one person speak at a time, please.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead,
so
go ahead.
This is a true story. This is a true story. So rewind to about maybe, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. I was, a single guy. I was kind of out of another relationship, but I was a single guy, and I had, I was just actually getting ready to move into my first home. So was out and about and was picking up some food and everything and saw this young lady, and she was with a friend of mine, and she was just gorgeous. I was like, who is that? And so my friend, she was like, oh, such and such and such and such. So, got the young lady's number, we connected and everything and talked to her that very night. She told me, and I'm going somewhere with this, she told me that she was celibate. And I said, oh, okay, it's fine, no problem. Now, understand, at this time, I'm already dating multiple women. So the fact that you're celibate, really, I'm not hurt by that because I already have what we call a few in rotation. So it's not a big deal, right? So I'm like, okay, no problem.
Right.
So we talk, and she's like, yeah, I'm celibate, and da-da-da-da, it's hard out here finding, a man, and et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, as soon as I say I'm celibate, ooh, it's a wrap. And I was like, oh, okay, I can understand that, yeah. So she was like, I've been celibate 5 years. I was like, wow, that's a long time. We ended up having sex on our third time together. Now, I say that not to brag and everything, because I don't care about that, but I say that to say this. So I had an event that I did one time, and I brought that – I used that illustration, which is a true story, actually. So I told the people there that this is what happened. It couldn't have been more split down the middle. The women were like, oh, my God, why didn't you just try to – you know, maybe she just had a weak moment, and, you know, you should have seen – and I was like, I wasn't feeling it. The men were like, nah, I wouldn't have done that either. I mean, she got to be lying. You don't give up 5 years of celibacy for somebody that you've only known a week. That don't even make no damn sense. So in regards to women having sex early, it's a crapshoot. That's what I will say. It's a damn crapshoot, because you could, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't believe her. I didn't believe, you know, I know I can be charming, but I don't believe that I was ever that charming to make a woman just up and give up that amount of time. I believe that that's kind of one of the things that sometimes women say to men, because they want to be seen as virtuous. They want to be seen as a woman who kind of keeps it on the shelf and doesn't give it up and dole it out to everybody. So, you know, that's, you know, I just wanted to kind of point that out, because that's something that I think a lot of women don't really understand, that, you know, when you come into a situation like that, just be straight. Just say, you know, hey, this is where I'm at.
Exactly.
I don't really, you know, I'm not really trying to have sex, you know, day one. But who knows? You may get lucky. We might have sex tonight. And you gotta. And as I tell people, you gotta leave yourself some cushion. You gotta leave yourself a little bit of room to have a weak moment, because men are. I say this all the time on this show, in my books, on my page. Men are not as smart as women, but men are not as dumb as women think they are either. And we see things, and if it doesn't pass the sniff test, if it doesn't pass the eyeball test, we ain't going for it. End of story.
And I got a question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. What about the guys that you asked them when the last time they had sex, and they say it's been 3 weeks, it's been 2 months, it's been 3 days, and actually it was earlier that day? Don't you think they're lying? I mean, that's a lie. Most guys lie. When they ask that question, most guys lie.
If a guy was to say 3 weeks, I wouldn't think that that was a lie, because that's really not a long time. If a guy was to say it's been 8 months, I would kind of look at him side-eye, because most men, I'm not going to say talk about the exception, most men are not going to wait 8 months to have sex. They're not going to wait 8 weeks. They always... As we said, we always got an operation and a rotation going on. So it's, you know, and to take it even further, it's one of the reasons why men are very reluctant to kind of settle down, because they're like, you mean I got to shut down my whole operation? I got to get rid of Keisha and Kim and Angie and Stacy and Monica? You mean to show me I got to tell all them women I'm going to get with you? You know, so no, I think men are going to have sex. I mean, if you go back all the way to the beginning of time, men have had sex, and men have had sex with multiple women at one time. And the idea and notion that men pretty much have kind of one woman is really, we talked about this on a previous show, Ted, is really kind of a recent phenomenon. If you go back into biblical times, if you go back into, you know, hundreds of years ago, men always had multiple women. So, you know, it kind of begs the question, is monogamy something that, I mean, where has there been a time ever in the history of mankind where there haven't been men who have wanted multiple women and have been with multiple women? It's never happened. So why is it such a desire? I don't want to say desire, that's a bad word. Why is it something that we want so bad for men to have now? That's the question.
That was a good question. But I will also state that in biblical times it was for the economy to build economically. It wasn't just about the having sex. It was about building.
Okay. I don't think he said it was about having sex. He just said they had more than one woman.
Correct, but
it was
still about building wealth. It was about building wealth. It was about having sons. It was about bringing families together. It was still the basis of it wasn't just about them having multiple women, is what I'm saying to you. The motivation was about building wealth. It was about bringing families together. It was about having sons. It was about expanding because a man was considered to be wealthy that had many children. So I would say that I understand what you're saying, and that was a valid point, and that's true, but it was also the motivation behind it. But I also will beg to differ. Well, you said something about women saying that they were celibate. Well, true story, I was celibate for 7 years, and I began to date a guy, and it wasn't as easy. I don't know about women. It's as easy for them if you've been celibate for 7 years to have sex on a second date. For me, it took a couple of months before I even felt comfortable to even do that. So I don't see if someone who has been being celibate would be that eager on the first, second, or whatever. That's just me. I don't know about any other woman. But I feel like if that was your goal, it's a mindset. It's not just about me abstaining. It's also what I'm doing. It's also keeping so many other things in check. So I don't know how easy that would be for someone to actually go and have sex so soon after being celibate for a certain amount of time. That's just
not so long. Right.
Dion, hold on for just a minute. We got less than 5 minutes on the show, so let me try to take our last call.
Hey, Blair, we can't hear you, Blair. It's hard to hear you.
Okay. I don't know what happened. I'm not doing
anything different,
so. Okay, so I was saying, let's try to take our last call. We got like about 4 minutes left, so let's just get a call real quick if we can, and go from there. So we are. I think this is a person from before. It's area code 347. 347. Are you there? 347. Okay.
They just want to listen.
All right, maybe they just want to listen. Okay, cool. So, Dion, you made some very good points. Let me ask you this, and this will be kind of one of the especially women not wanting to have sex on the first date. Do you think it's about? You said I'm muffled.
Yeah, you're fine now. You're fine now.
Okay. Do you think that not wanting to have sex on the first or second date? Do you think that it's about control? Do you think that women are about trying to control men?
No, I don't. I don't think it's about control more so than sometimes what we think of ourselves.
Okay.
Those things of, you know, being too I still believe that it has to do with how we were raised, you know, that you were told there's some fast girls to be having that sex early on. You know what I mean? You don't want to be considered a fast girl. Or it was always that as negative. To be honest with you, I think today, the generation that we are in right now is that we're celebrating our sexuality. You know, I'm a woman in my 40s, and for me, I'm sexually heightened like never before. So it's a little bit different for me. I'm seeing sex and intimacy a little bit different than I did in my 30s and in my 20s. So I think it depends on where you are. It depends on your upbringing. It depends on your circle, who you're surrounded with, because we can say we're not, but we are affected sometimes by our circle, you know, what we see, who we're associated with, and how it's going to be looked at, you know, because we like to talk with our girl. So,
absolutely. Okay, cool. Ted, we got about 2 minutes left. You want to get some final words?
Yeah, Dion kind of just nailed it. So, one of my concerns is that people don't actually make decisions in their own relationships. Their environment is shaping and constraining them for what they can and cannot do. And I think the biggest thing is, like our last week's call, is really know yourself and know what you want. Just as a side, to your point, Blair, a man, his climax is about 6 seconds. A woman is 23 seconds. So, Dion, you all are getting more out of it than we are.
I definitely agree with that.
So I'm just saying that people should spend time. It's not about first date or 90 days or the 50th date. It's really about spending time getting to know the person and allow yourself to decide whether you like them or not before you even have sex. Doesn't matter which date
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for our show. This is a very good show. We are now to the end. And, again, as always, I want to thank my co-host, Ted. And we keep doing this every week, and we're growing numerically. And we are growing, you know, just by all the different people that are calling in. So
thank you so much for tuning into the Straight Talk Show. Catch us next week at the same time. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
And thank you, everyone. Callers, listeners, thank you. Thank you very much, and have a great evening.